Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. It is a special privilege for us to be able to provide this broadcast each Sunday morning for your listening enjoyment and inspiration. Our broadcast is enjoyed by many different people in our area and community. We are grateful for your support. We thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts as well. Radio CJMQ covers a wide area. We have regular listeners in the eastern townships of Quebec and also in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We welcome your questions and comments. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. And you can access the program on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you, and on this Labor Day weekend, let me welcome you to this broadcast of the Word of Grace for Sunday the 4th of September 2022. Delighted to have you join with us, and it's good to have you listening in whenever and however and wherever you are joining us from. My name is Nigel Parker, and I am the minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. I hope that however you express your faith and wherever and with whomever you express your faith in worship, that you will find a blessing here as we share together in these moments. Our opening reading are verses from Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And at verse 14, I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Let us pray. God of all creation, you have opened the world around us and filled it with creatures of your love and purpose, each one declaring your praise. Birds flying aloft sing of your freedom. The tiny ant works with your persistence. The ripened field speaks of your generosity, and the mountains declare your majesty. Yet it was on the Mount of Crucifixion that you have supremely expressed yourself. Though many times we laid the foundations for a life of discipleship worthy of your love and justice, we could never bring it to completion until you sent your son Jesus to us, to lead us in the way of the cross. And when he was killed, you raised him to life and gave him back to us forever to save us from destruction. Challenge us today to live out the praise we offer you through the grace of Jesus Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. God of justice and mercy, we offer you our love and loyalty in worship, yet we admit we do not live out that love and loyalty. We don't always act on our good intentions. We fail to keep our promises, and we hurt each other, and then refuse to seek or offer forgiveness. And people must look at us and wonder if this is what it means to follow Jesus. Hear these words of affirmation. When we turn from evil, God does not bring disaster on us, but forgives our sins and refreshes our hearts in Christ. Our sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. Thank you, Lord, for this grace. Amen.
This is my Father's world, and through my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and
Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, at verse 25. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and weren't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." Amen.
Thank you.
So Luke 14:25 tells us that large crowds were traveling with Jesus. No doubt some are on his left, some on his right, some behind him, and probably some in front. They were traveling with Jesus because they liked what he was intending to do for them. Feeding the hungry, curing the sick, giving sight to the blind. But Jesus is the most honest, down-to-earth person you're going to find. He's going to let you know up front what the cost is. How many of you have ever signed up for something and got burnt because the person who was smiling in your face and telling you what a great deal you were getting didn't tell you what the fine print said on the back of the contract? The disciples may have been impressed with the crowd. Aren't we all impressed with numbers in this day and age? But Jesus figures, to use a word that uses numbers, Jesus figures too many people are on board for the wrong reasons. So he turns around, and I can see the disciples all say, "Shh, shh, hey, quiet, Jesus has got something else to say." And Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Well, that statement must have sent a shockwave through the crowd. Imagine the murmuring. What's he talking about? We just started following this guy last week, and he's telling us we have to love him more than we do our own family members. Boy, does he ever need to get a life. Jesus knew that so many in this crowd, like many people can today, were following Jesus because they were inspired, but not invested. They were seeking some help, but their commitment went no deeper. Essentially, they were consumers of what he had to offer. There was a survey on CTV the other week about, will you follow the Canadian Habs if Carey Price isn't playing for them? And just under half of the people who responded said that they wouldn't follow the Habs if Carey Price wasn't playing. Now, Carey Price has been and may yet again be a great player for the Habs, and I'm sorry for the issues that are in his life. But to decide whether you're a follower of the Habs on the basis of one person, or one season, or one success, is that a good enough reason? What are you in it for? The glory? The success? The kudos? It's great to be a part of the crowd when things are going well and you have a star player on top of their game and the Stanley Cup is round the corner. But when things don't look so good, then are you really committed? Jesus understands that with regard to faith, we all begin in the crowd. We all find something in faith or in the church that we find affirming or comforting or supporting or blessing. It's good to be part of the crowd, especially when they're generally nice people to be around who are socially minded and good citizens. But we can't confuse the crowd with commitment. So Jesus speaks into that place in all of us to help us to define whether we are a part of the crowd or the committed, whether we are a fan or a follower. One of the marks of a fan is they think they are a follower. The fan will cheer, sing praises, get the t-shirt until it's not popular, not easy, not bringing anything that feels like a reward. Jesus addresses this mistaken understanding of discipleship in verses 26 and 27, and he explains in vivid and clear terms what it means to be a disciple. The demands are stated in the phrase that recurs three times. He cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. She cannot be my disciple. It's helpful to understand that Jesus uses the term disciples in a way that's not commonly used today. It means learner or student. Now, it's been good to see the students gathering around Bishop's University and elsewhere in Sherbrooke this past week. But to be a disciple was far more than what we consider to be a student today. You see the students today with their textbooks and their notebooks and their computers all taking down their information being passed on to them. But one doesn't learn just information from the master. A disciple wants to follow the life of the master. They were submitted themselves to follow their whole way of life. A disciple doesn't learn this way of life merely by learning some propositions or ideas or writing an essay, but by actual participation and practice. And it is this nature of being disciples that Jesus calls us to. It's not the highest terms of commitment. It's the only terms of commitment. Being a disciple in this way is not some optional secondary level of commitment for super special people. Jesus calls those first people out of the crowd and into commitment. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he or she cannot be my disciple. Now, many of you are wise enough to know that Jesus is speaking in an exaggerated form called hyperbole, because we know that he commends us to honour our fathers and mothers, and it's by loving each other that we show our love for God. It's not really about hate, it's about priority. We will find that we're unable to truly follow Jesus unless Jesus becomes our defining priority, more important than anyone or anything else. We all have something that's more important than anything else in our lives, one relationship that we understand as being worthy of our ultimate allegiance. And so many of us want to look for that and find it, but try and live in two different worlds. C.S. Lewis once said, "Put first things first, and we get second things thrown in. Put second things first, and we lose both the first and second things." You get the best of Jesus when it's only Jesus. When we try to get the best of both worlds, you get neither. Jesus is speaking to us as a crowd about what it means to be committed, and he calls us out. And some of you listening will be a part of the crowd, interested, traveling with Jesus, but not yet committed. And Jesus understands that. But today, maybe he's calling you to hear the call and to hear it the more clearly, to move from the crowd into commitment.
When my way grows dream, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall, take my hand, precious
Let us pray. God of all times and of all peoples, on this Labor Day weekend, we thank you for all the skill and talent with which you bless us. Thank you for what we have each accomplished through the work we have done, and for what each one of us contributes to the well-being of our community. Inspire us to work together on the challenges we face, and surprise us with the solutions to problems that once seemed overwhelming. Today we pray for all those who labor in difficult situations, for children who work in terrible conditions and paid so little and miss out on education, for migrant workers who must labor far away from their families, and for all those who are underpaid or unjustly treated in their workplace. We pray for those who cannot labor, for those who are unemployed or underemployed, for those who have become injured on the job or too sick to keep working, for those who are denied the opportunity to earn a living because of war or discrimination. We pray for those who labor in our community, for those who must work today and tomorrow instead of enjoying a long weekend, for those who must work several jobs in order to care for their families, for those who work at jobs we wouldn't do ourselves because they're messy or unpleasant. And on this Labor Day, O God, we offer gratitude for laws that protect children, for health and safety practices that prevent tragedies in the workplace, and for generations before us who've advocated for vulnerable employees, fair wages, and equal opportunities. Thank you for the work that goes on behind the scenes, delivering things we enjoy and services we rely on. We thank you for Jesus' work for us, for the way that he earned his living as a carpenter, and at the end, through wood and nails, won for us a wonderful salvation. Help us to trust in his finished work upon the cross, and that by believing in him, we might find a place of welcome in the life to come. Hear this, our prayer, through the name of him who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. This week sees many churches restart their activities. So maybe today is a time to come out of the shadows of the crowd and into commitment by going along to your local faith community. You'd be very welcome at 10:30 a.m. at St. Andrew's Sherbrooke each Sunday. If you can't make it in person, join us online through the Facebook page or the YouTube channel where the service is live streamed. Today, the 4th of September, we're beginning a new sermon series on the Book of Habakkuk, exploring suffering, pain and evil, together with faith and hope and love. So why not pop in on us? And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.